Step 4. Now hit this note. The note should sound something like this. Step 5. This is the most important part of the tutorial. Use the tip of your tongue to execute a tongue roll. Your final result should be something like this.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, and joining me today, there's no Apple News editor out there with dimples cuter than his. Buster Hein is here.
Harry. Large nipples.
Not nipples, dimples.
Oh, dimples. Oh, God. Well, my dimples are hairy and large, too, so it's cool. It works both ways.
Cutest nipples, dimples.
He has the cutest nipples of any Apple News editor out there. That could have worked for either of you, though, so I wouldn't have been able to go with that one.
Dang. Okay.
Also joining us, he's probably going to hate the new Star Wars movie, and he's going to think it's the worst piece of garbage ever produced. Leander Caney is here.
Hey. Yeah, I'm already leaning that way, and I haven't even seen it.
They were the worst previews you've ever seen, the worst director you've ever heard of.
Right, yeah.
Are you actually going to go see it, Leander?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the kids are, you know...
super excited about that.
Yeah, they're definitely, they're pushing. Actually, they're not super excited. They're kind of like, yeah, you know, they want to see it, but yeah. They're not, you know, they're not feverish. They're not in a tizzy about it. But they do want to see it. Yeah, they want
true in true Caney fashion.
Know, right? Yeah. It's kind of they're like, man, you know, we don't have to go see it the first night. They don't want to deal with the crowds like me. It's like, oh, you know, all the people, all the
it's
crowds.
It's gonna be a nightmare getting in there and getting out of there. And here's what I imagine: the lights are flickering. Right. It's gonna be some exciting part of the movie. And as the light flickers upward, like, everyone in the movie theater is just delighted. They have, like, grins on their face. And then there's the Caney family. They're all slouched in their chairs, in a bad mood, hating the
entire
film together.
That's it, pretty much what it's like.
Somebody's on their iPhone. You're going to be looking at your Apple Watch.
Yeah, I know. My son, actually, the last movie we had to see was Spectre, the James Bond movie. And then and people were, like, clapping and having a great time. And my son goes...
With Lyle or is that or Olin?
Olin. I was laughing my head off. He's hilarious. Yeah. And he did that. He did that a couple of movies before. It's like his thing now. You know, like at the end of the movie. And then everyone's looking at him.
Caney family night at the movies, right there. Well, we're gonna be talking about Star Wars. It's kind of a slow news week, so it's good. We get to talk a little bit about Star Wars. Of course, we're gonna cover all the week's best Apple news. And if you stick around until the end, we're going to be wrapping up with a segment we've been doing all the summer. It's our faves of 2015. And this time around, we're going to be talking about our favorite... I was suggesting we should do our favorite product of 2015, but Leander said he's tired of all the consumerism.
I know.
I was like, this is kind of what we do, Leander. We talk about things people might want to buy.
I'm consumed out, you know, the rampant consumer of the season and all that, you know, like I've been had to do a bunch of Christmas shopping, which I cannot stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my products, you know, like all I've been thinking about for you know, for months, for weeks, for days is products. And I was like, can't we talk about something else, you know, at this time of giving and goodwill.
This time of giving. So we're going to talk about our favorite thing of 2015. It could be anything, absolutely anything. So if you want to talk about your favorite charity of 2015, Leander, your favorite spiritual moment, your favorite yoga pose, you go right ahead. I have chosen a product for mine. And okay. I think next time we're going to do our favorite movies of 2015. This will be next week because... We were going to do that this episode, but then it occurred to me, well, we're all seeing Star Wars in the next, I think, probably 48 hours. So we definitely don't want to not have that as part of the discussion for next week. So stick around until the end or at the end of the show for that. Before we hop into our Star Wars conversation, I want to thank Canary for supporting this episode. Canary is a complete home security system in a single device. I have one of these in my home. It is very handy. I love having it here. It is the all-watching eye. Whenever you leave your house, the Canary activates. And if anyone comes into your house, if it hears any loud noises, if something strange happens in your house, it will send an intelligent notification with a full HD video right to your iPhone. So Canary is always watching, sending video to the cloud, and you can watch that video live if you want, anytime you want, see what's going on in your house, or later. So if someone breaks in the day or the night, you'll have a video of them and their face, and the Canary's night vision is uncannily good. And also, it has a super loud siren that you could turn on if someone is in your house trying to steal your stuff or connect you to the police. Check it out. Canary, for a limited time, they're normally $199, is just $179. And if you use code CULTCAST, you'll get free overnight shipping at meetcanary.com and use code CULTCAST at checkout. That's meetcanary.com. I also want to thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode. FreshBooks is the online invoicing software designed to help small business owners get organized and save time invoicing and get paid faster. And it makes tax time a cinch. So we're getting close to tax time. And if I had to choose between getting a butt probe, what is the thing the doctor does to you? Colonoscopy? If I had to choose between that and spending any time doing taxes, I'd be like undoing my belt. I hate doing taxes. There's nothing worse. As you may know, if you have a business, you have to pay an accountant $150 an hour to help you get your taxes done. And if you're not organized when you get there, then he's going to be the doctor giving you the probe, because it's expensive if you're not organized going in. FreshBooks helps you get organized. You'll be organized the entire year because you'll be doing your tax stuff throughout the entire year because FreshBooks makes it so easy. You'll have all your invoices there. Your clients will be able to see them online, pay you faster. You'll be able to accept credit cards, which makes it easier to accept payments from clients. And then you can track all your expenses in FreshBooks, all via their web app or on your iOS device. Their iOS app is very good. And then come tax time, with a few clicks of a button, you will be handing your accountant everything that happened in your business, which makes his job extremely easy, which makes your bill for doing your taxes much smaller, because he didn't have to spend any time figuring out why you spent $150 at some seedy establishment. You'll have the invoice right there. You'll have the receipt right there. And he'll know that you spent it on a business dinner at some extravagant Las Vegas strip club. El Caney.
The Gold Club.
Gold Club, where Leander is a gold member. Check it out. FreshBooks.com/CultCast. Please enter CultCast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. You will get a free trial to use FreshBooks. All of us use FreshBooks. I pay for FreshBooks every single month. And if you have a business, you absolutely should be using it as well. FreshBooks.com/CultCast. Okay. Does anyone have a good, I don't know, a good Wookiee or a good Darth Vader kick off our Star Wars conversation?
Nope.
How was that?
I kind of did the trill.
What's a trill?
You know, that's sort of the warbling, the Wookiee. Oh.
Yeah, there's something missing from my Wookiee. I'm not really sure what it is. How about this? This will work.
Talk about Star Wars, we will. Okay. Coldcast, like you should listen to.
How about that? That's pretty good. So by the time you hear this, hopefully you're not on Reddit, because Star Wars will have been spoiled for you. But
they're banning people who put it.
Good.
They're trying to, but they're coming out so quick. You can see them all. Here's the thing. It's so easy for you to just avoid the spoilers, man.
How is that?
They have a Chrome extension for you to block them.
What's that called? Where do you get
it? Oh, God. What is it?
OB? People don't want to hear about this.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Can't remember
it's so easy. All you have to do
Here, look. I can look it up. You just go Star Wars spoilers Chrome. 1 second. Let me work that.
Okay. Well, here's while Buster is searching for this. Here's the crazy part. So we're going to talk about Star Wars. And the crazy part is, Buster was saying before we even started recording that he's actually been seeking out the spoilers. And he's like, I already know all the plot points. I know exactly what happens. And yet you're seeing it tonight.
Yeah, why? That's what.
Why
I mean,
are you doing that to yourself?
What? Why not? Here's the thing: is it's you know what happens in Star Wars like forever, but you still rewatch them. Like it to me, I don't understand why people think like that completely ruins the movie by knowing what happens. You don't
because it completely ruins the movie if you know what happens.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because the movie's about so much more. No, it's not because it's about so much more than just the basic plot. Like I can know the plot, I can see a few scenes, I can see art from it, but you still don't get the full experience. You never get that until you actually sit through and watch the whole thing in a theater. You don't see all the music, the sounds, the costumes, the effects. Like nothing comes together like seeing the whole movie or like reading the whole book or like seeing the whole movie 50 times after because you love it a lot. Like it doesn't change that. So for me, like the spoilers, it's just like gets me more excited to go like finally get to see it all.
Wow. Okay. I was going to ask you. So I get that. For you, spoilers doesn't ruin the experience because you're going to watch it over and over. But I'm like, you went and seeked out the spoilers.
Yeah, man.
You were like going to see what was going to happen. It's yeah, like reading the cliff notes before you read the book.
Right.
No, yeah, and I do that sometimes. It's fine. Just want to know what happens.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like, oh, man. They've been shutting down the spoilers, but yesterday... I'm not going to spoil anything. Huge scene leaked. The biggest scene of the movie that's just going to put a lightsaber right through your heart. It's just...
It's going to put a lightsaber in your pants.
Crushing, yeah. And it was awesome. It was so cool to like...
Do you watch the footage?
Yeah, the whole footage. Because so there's like...
It's
been out... Yeah, it's been out in Asia for, since yesterday. So people have just been filming it and uploading little clips onto the Asian sites. And then on Reddit, like they post them and then like Instagram and YouTube and everybody else will block the content after like an hour or two. But you can still get like little bits here and there.
It's been seriously giving me anxiety using Reddit the last 3 days because people keep posting stuff in there. And I had something spoiled for me. It was my own fault, but I had something spoiled for me for Game of Thrones. And I was so... I'm the exact opposite end of the spectrum as you. I don't want to know anything about a show, a movie going into it. I want to know nothing. I even stopped watching the Star Wars trailers because I want it to be a surprise. And Reddit right now is just... It's full of spoilers.
Well, everybody is like, spoiler alert. Spoilers here. Wait. Hey, there's a spoiler down below. Don't come any lower. Like, I swear, like, everybody's just like... So cautious about it. It's just like annoying to me. I feel like people just need to chill a little bit on their spoiler anxiety.
Well, Leander, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being, I have a lightsaber in my pants and I'm happy to see you. What is your excitement level to see this movie?
Probably 2.
So you're just going because your kids are making you.
I'd rather go see that movie about the Boston Globe, to be honest.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Spotlight. I saw it. It was great. Yeah. It's really great if you're, like you will love it because you're a journalist too.
Yeah. Are you talking to me or Leander? I'm like, no, I hope you're talking to Leander. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, journalist. That's me. Okay, Buster. Excitement level 1 to 5.
Oh, dude, like a 6, man.
Yeah.
I'm amped up even more. I just saw a lightsaber battle, and I can't wait to see it in theaters.
He's like, I've already seen all the biggest battles on YouTube. Now I'm even more excited. So I'm super excited, too, and we've been talking about this movie on this show, I feel like, for like the last year. Let me read you some of the reviews. So Todd McCarthy from The Hollywood Reporter said, the film is a franchised, reawakened. Bob Mondello from NPR said, all you really want to know is whether it's good, right? Well, in fact, it is better than it had to be.
Oh,
I'm not sure if that's good or bad, actually. Film Journal International says, strives to unite old and new generations of Star Wars fans and mostly succeeds. So all the consensus that I'm seeing is, I don't want to overhype this movie because I don't want to go in there and be disappointed because my hype level is already pretty high. But all the reviews that I've seen have been overwhelmingly positive. Have you guys seen very many negative reviews?
I've seen a few negative, and I can understand why. Like once, it's a little bit somewhat repetitive of the old tropes from the old series.
You mean like A New Hope?
Yeah. Like, it's a very an homage to A New Hope in many ways.
I've heard that as well, too.
I don't think that's necessarily negative, but if you wanted something completely brand new, you might not get it.
Hmm. Yeah, I've heard that same thing. What were you going to say, Leander?
I was going to say, which one is New Hope? that was the original one, right?
That was that was the very first one with the kid.
Right.
No, it wasn't. That was the original Star Wars.
Oh, I thought you meant the very first one being literally the very first one. I mean, the first one they made, which is now number 4. Right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I hate when people do that, by the way.
What?
I hate it when they start at 4, because what inevitably happens is technology gets to a point where the special effects look much better. So now you're supposed to believe that episode 4 is I guess newer than the very first movie that they made with that kid. And it's like, it doesn't look new at all. I'm rewatching it right now. It looks really good, but it looks older. And so so there's like a disconnect for me, because I'm like, this is supposed to be newer content, but it looks older.
But it'd be interesting to talk to somebody who saw them in, you know, the order that Lucas wants them to see him in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I wonder whether they would have that reaction. They go, oh my goodness, this looks like an old black and white movie. What are we watching? You know?
I'm rewatching it in 1080p, like Blu-ray quality. And it's funny. When you rewatch older content like that in such high fidelity, I kind of am a little worried about the future, because I've also been rewatching the original Star Trek movies, and you see stuff that you just didn't see before because the fidelity just wasn't as good. And so you see like the monitors they're using are clearly like CRT monitors, you know, from like the 1980s. And so it's supposed to be the future, but it doesn't look future-esque
anymore. Well, right,
that's
the most, is the most jarring thing, isn't it? It's like the ridiculous old, you know, TVs they have everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like the command line interfaces. Buster, what were you going
to
say?
Oh, sorry. No, I don't know. For me, it's not that big of a deal, because, I don't know, you have to remember it's just a movie.
It was
actually made before the first one. So,
well, didn't the first Star Wars? You could see the blue lines.
It's just a depiction of the story. You know?
Could you see the blue lines around people because they were doing the blue screen recording, the effects?
In which movie?
Well, I seem to remember, and I'm sure they've removed them. You know, but in the 77 Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they were like bombing the Death Star, and when they they had the cockpit shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I seem to remember that you could see the blue lines. Remember, you know, the blue screen was so primitive back then that there would always be like a little outline of the blue around the person's head.
Well, I feel like you couldn't really see it because, like, you know, the whole screen was fuzzy and it was like 480. You couldn't see it anyway. Yeah. They probably got rid of all that stuff in the redone.
Oh, I'm
versions.
Sure they have. Yeah. Right, because they've added all kinds of special stuff. You know, the explosions were really bad, weren't they? Right, it was clearly an explosion that they had,
like the Death Star explosion.
Yeah,
that one was so bad.
That was like that in Doctor Who, wasn't it? You know, a TV level effect. And now it has a ring, right, that goes around it, and it it's been made a lot more modern CGI effect.
Yeah, they added a ton of that stuff in, which there was actually a lot of controversy around. There's a whole documentary, I don't know if it's still on Netflix, about the original Star Wars and how George Lucas went back and, in their opinion, ruined the entire series by adding all that special effects crap that wasn't in there the first time around. And a lot of people were really pissed off about that. But I went back, having not watched the Star Wars movies in quite a while, I've been going back through and watching them. And now I feel like that stuff that he put in actually does make the movies a lot better.
Damn.
And brings them into a more modern era, because, I don't know, like, especially when you see the new Star Wars movie, a lot of that CGI is missing. Well, all of it's missing from the old stuff. And so they just don't look like they're related at all. And now they actually feel more unified because they have characters similar in both movies. Did you not like it, Buster?
I don't know, because sometimes he did like so much CGI on those add-ons that it just looked way fake. Like, I think there's like the dewbacks on Tatooine and stuff just look horrible and stuff. But
in the new movies, one of the things they did was they used real models for a lot of the shots so that it would feel similar to the old Star Wars movies, which is one of the things that people really liked about it. And then also, we've probably talked about this before too, they didn't involve George Lucas at all. George Lucas recently had an interview and they were talking to him about the new Star Wars movies and his involvement. And he basically said they just didn't even ask me about anything. Like until it was over, I didn't even get to have any involvement whatsoever. I wonder if the premiere was the first time he ever saw it.
I doubt it. I think he said I'm pretty sure he had come out with a quote before then that said that it was like something that the fans would enjoy, a movie that the fans would like.
maybe he was just assuming. He's like, I heard it's great.
Right.
Disney is getting so powerful now. I mean, when I see how well these movies are doing, and that they own Marvel now, and you know all of Star Wars,
they're gonna have like the two biggest cinematic universes, Marvel's and Star Wars now,
because they are the holder of kids' dreams everywhere.
Oh god!
And they're merchandising the hell out of this. There's Star Wars crap everywhere now.
Did you see the
Star Wars mascara? What?
Yeah. I know. I was just in. Do you see the estimates for how much money they're going to make on it?
No,
I didn't. What was the estimate?
Well, $2 billion at the box office, which would make it one of the highest grossing movies of all time, and then $4 billion in merchandising. $6 billion total.
Cow. Like mascara, lipstick ads. Hot dog ad, like everything.
Yes,
Star Wars.
Yes, like it's the most ridiculous things are getting Star Wars branding. It's like
every commercial on TV is Star Wars related this week. You know,
eat this hot dog, you will. Strong in the Force, will you be?
Well, have you got any stuff? Did you buy any? Have you?
I actually
any Star
did.
Wars stuff?
Yeah.
There you go. Oh. I thought so.
I got a killer Chewbacca mug, which is just the bottom part of his face.
Is it all hairy?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't actually have hair on it.
That would be cool, like a hairy mug.
That would actually be pretty cool if it actually had hair on it. Yeah. But when you lift it up to your face, his nose and his mouth align with your face, so you have like that Chewbacca look.
Nice.
I got to work on my Chewbacca. Oh, I'm so excited for this movie, and I think one of the most satisfying things that I've seen so far is a majority of people are saying this is the reboot that we were all waiting for. It re-energizes the franchise while also unifying and paying homage to the old Star Wars. And that's exactly what I was hoping J.J. Abrams would be able to do. I think it's what he did with the Star Trek movies. I know there's some people out there that didn't care for those, but I think they're really good. And I'm a huge fan of the first generation Star Trek movies. In any case, I'm seeing it tomorrow. Buster, you're seeing it tonight?
Tonight at 7.
Damn.
Yes.
Damn.
7. So excited.
What time are you going to get there? Because there's going to be people lining up outside.
Dude, you better leave. Probably we need to wrap 5. It up. You need to go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about some. Let's just toss some Apple news in here. We only need to get 30 minutes worth, right? And then we'll wrap it up so Buster can go.
I thought we just talked about Star Wars for 30 minutes.
Should we just wrap it up now?
Yeah, we're done.
That's all the
Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Listen, next week you should.
Okay, let's do some Apple stuff. Buster, you want to talk about the promotions?
There were some promotions at Apple today.
Okay, next story.
A bunch of white guys got hired to executive jobs at Apple.
Well, they were all there already. They got promoted.
Right. So
tell us what happened.
Well, Phil Schiller, he is now in charge of the App Store, which used to be under the control of Eddie Q, but it's kind of been sucking, I think.
You mean the iOS App Store or the Mac App Store? They have been sucking.
Both has been sucking. But
really?
The Mac App Store worse than the iOS, seriously sucks.
It's like an embarrassing amount of suckage.
I think he's across the App Store across all platforms, so I think it means iOS and Mac's App Store. I'm not totally sure. But
you mean that he's in charge of?
Yeah, Phil Schiller now.
Yeah, that's exactly my interpretation of it as well, too. Hopefully he'll be able to reinvigorate the Mac App Store, because it's truly bad. I mean, it kind of feels like they just need to shut it down at this point.
Right. And then Jeff Williams, he got promoted as well, also known as Tim Cook's Tim Cook. And he got promoted to Tim Cook's old job, COO,
right. Yeah. And he was, what was he before again?
Senior VP of Worldwide, or Senior VP of
Operations,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's, just a bump up in title, really. I'm sure he's going to be doing the same much.
They didn't mention any, did they mention any new, new responsibilities, any
they
new
didn't.
Stuff that he's taken over?
No, they didn't. Yeah, that's about it. They just said that he's the best operations executive I've ever worked with, says Tim Cook.
And that's coming from Tim Cook.
Tim Cook was pretty damn good.
Who knows himself. Yeah. He's all that's high praise, as Nick Cage would say.
But I think Williams was already one of their top paid executives last year, the year before. He was just under Angela Arendt. So.
Which is funny because I bet a lot of people listening to this have absolutely no idea who he is.
Right.
So now he's going to have Tim Cook's old job.
Yeah. I mean, he's very similar personality to Tim Cook when Tim Cook was COO. Like, he was kind of like sidelines guy, quiet guy, like, you know, just nice dude nobody knew about. So.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Any other promotions that we should know about?
Yeah. They also, there's another Johnny coming aboard.
Heck yeah. The more Johnnies, the better.
Something about a guy named Johnny Cerugi. Is that, do you think that's how you say it, Leander?
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I believe
it's
he's a designer.
Totally wrong.
And then Tor Myron from
the guy's name is Tor, like T-O-R?
Tor, yeah, like the like that's the browser, yeah. And he's doing damn. Like communications or something.
Okay, so a bunch of people just got shifted around.
Yeah,
nice. Good for Jeff Williams.
One, sure new guy, right? Play. So yeah, that's a good point. A lot of internal promotions, right. Which is great.
Bump ups,
right? You know. That's the way to do it. And then this one new guy Tor, and he was from Gray, right? The big New York advertising firm.
Yeah,
and he's replacing a guy who's retiring.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that guy. That Hiroki Asai. I don't know.
They did all of the Apple's, you know, in internal graphics work and a lot of ad works for ads, marketing, stores, signage, ads, packaging. Mm. They were really a big group and did a lot of, you know, all of Apple's sort of graphic design and marketing work.
Mm.
And he'd been there forever, and they. You know, 18 years, I think, right? And he's also won a Black Pencil, which is a big deal. That's like one of the top design awards in the world.
Oh, not as good as a gold pencil, though.
No, I think the black is better. The black is better. Yeah, the black is the top award. And you know, it's super hard to get. Of course, Johnny Ive has like seven, I think.
He's got a whole, yeah, he's got a whole pocket.
Well, he's won the most of anybody ever. But no, it's a big deal to get one of those.
At one point, you got to wonder if they just start giving those to people who have prestige to kind of reaffirm their own prestige, right? It's like, oh, well, Johnny Ive has one of these. This is all of a sudden a prestigious award,
yeah.
Right? It's like Time Magazine putting people on the cover. It's like sometimes I think they do it just to make themselves stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a good opportunity to also mention, if you wonder how Leander Caney is so knowledgeable about things that no one should know anything about, he has written 75 different Apple books on various Apple topics. Is it 75, Leander?
74.
74. My apologies. My sincere apologies. And you could get any of his books on Amazon. I wish they were read by him, but unfortunately they're not. But you can get them in both print form and audio form.
Actually, yeah, perfect Christmas present for the Apple
the person
fan
that
of
you
your
hate.
Life.
Oh,
no, Apple fans.
The person. That's what I meant to say. My apologies. Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Especially if you know like a really big Apple nut, you know what they should get, Leander, is the genius. Wait, I always say this wrong. Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products. But didn't you also write? Wasn't one of your first books actually called The Cult of Mac?
Yeah.
Was that your very first one?
It was, yeah.
What motivated you to even want to write a book? Because that sounds like a really terrible, tedious task.
You know, you've seen those pictures of chicks in a nest with their mouths open?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, four of those when I went home.
Oh, you meant like kids.
Right.
I thought you meant that that writing a book was going to get you chicks. I was like, yeah, I'm not sure that's the way it works.
Yeah, but especially not a book like Cult of Mac, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the ladies love guys who write very tech-ridden books. They love that stuff. Anyway, good idea if you're looking for a gift for the Apple nut in your life. As long as we're talking about iOS or app stores, let's talk about the tvOS app store, shall we?
Okay.
I was really surprised to read that we're already up to 2,600 apps in total for the Apple TV store, because in my own searching, I've probably only seen about five that actually are worth downloading. Have you guys downloaded a bunch of these?
Yeah, I got a few. I mean,
What's your favorite one so far besides Netflix?
I was going to say Netflix. yeah, I know. Good question.
Right?
You know what's pretty
good? 2600 apps already.
Well, you know what's pretty good is the PBS app. Although I didn't actually look at any of the shows, but you can get a boatload of PBS content. They have all the local have a bunch of local shows for all over the country. Mm-hmm. So you can see stuff from the East Coast, the Southwest, the South.
Oh,
kind
really?
Of amazing, yeah.
I downloaded that, but I actually haven't used it yet.
And then all the shows they have, and they have pretty good. It looks like they have pretty good archives. To be honest, I didn't dig into it, but like it looks like there was a bunch of Nova shows there.
Uh-huh.
Like all those horrible British shows they show
that you love.
Yeah. Well, everyone wants Downton Abbey. And to be honest, I don't know if they have Downton Abbey.
They probably don't, because that's one of the shows they actually sell to Netflix or I think Amazon Instant Video.
Yeah, but it looked like I was really surprised. I was like digging through, you know, menu after menu, and then you can drill down into each of the shows and there's season after season. It looked like a really deep library of stuff.
A lot of the apps that I've seen, so the categories that are most popular are games and entertainment, as you would expect. A lot of the games that I've seen have just sucked. They're like, you know, you press on the Apple remote to make something jump around. It's just like one button tap type games. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really seen anything that I thought was all that compelling. I mean, besides Plex, which you guys said you didn't see the point of, but I use all the time, Netflix, and then, you know, some of the other entertainment type apps. I haven't seen anything that looked good. And I wonder if this is a discovery problem, just like in the iOS or I guess any app store, the Mac store or the iOS app store, because you just can never find anything good that you're looking for.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was some of the early ones, like the Airbnb ones seem kind of interesting. You know, you can look at a bunch of listings, but then
on the TV,
but then you have to kind of bookmark them, and then you go back and then you onto your computer or your iPad or whatever, and then you go see the ones you saved, and yeah, you know, okay, I guess that's fine. It's a bit limited. You know, it'd be nice if it was a fuller app, but yeah, you know, I think it's early days yet. Like the one game I was playing, that Lumino City, it was actually kind of hard. It was much nicer to do it on the iPad than it is to do it with the remote. The remote actually makes it much harder to play.
I was reading that a lot of developers are not bringing their games over to the Apple TV because Apple mandates that their games have to be compatible with that little remote, which kind of seems like a dumb idea. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. They want to make it universal so that everyone can use the remote to play games, but some of those games don't lend themselves very well to playing on that little remote.
Right.
And so you're seeing a limitation in as far as developers wanting to bring their games over to.
Yeah, that seems like they're going to shoot themselves in the foot because, you know, a lot of games obviously work really well with regular game controllers.
Right, exactly.
And it already supports that, so it'll be a quick, easy, you know, way to bring it over, but.
What they should be doing is just making it very clear, like, this game requires some type of, you know, controller. And if they want the Apple TV to really be a gaming system, I think that would be a better way to go because a lot of gamers don't want to play with that little remote. They don't want to use touch controls. They want to have a controller. And so they really should make more of an effort to push those controllers, and that's a prime way to do it, right? If there's a game that you want to play that requires like an actual controller, you might be more willing to buy one. One last interesting tidbit about this. So far, the tvOS App Store is closely mirroring the growth of the original iOS App Store, which as of July 2008, when the App Store launched, it had 500 apps, and then it had expanded to 9,600 apps four months later in November of 2008. Gosh, that is massive growth in such a short period of time. So the tvOS App Store is growing very quickly, so that's a good thing, but still not really seeing a lot of stuff there that looks like it has a whole lot of promise. But again, it is early days. I think in the next 2 years it's going to become a much more mature marketplace where you'll find content that you might actually want. And speaking of content that you might actually want, Buster, we might see Apple bring the NFL to Apple TV, isn't that right?
Yeah, are you ready for some football?
Oh, man. Bro. I don't actually care about football.
Dude, come on.
This wouldn't sell an Apple TV for me. I'd be like, oh, cool.
Your Seattle Seahawks, they're so good this year.
Are they? No, I honestly don't know.
They're making a comeback. They're on a
hot streak. Yeah, because they had a good start, right? And then they kind of fizzled.
They had a crappy start. And then, well, maybe they had a decent start and then a crappy or mid-season. Now they're,
and now
like
they're making a comeback?
Trying to, whatever. Anyway, football.
Okay.
Might come to Apple TV. Probably not. I'm guessing more likely not. Yahoo broadcast, I think, one or two.
There was just one game.
Just one game of this season. And, you know, they said it went really well. I don't know if football would really fit into Apple's, I don't know, thing on the Apple TV. They've never really offered something like that. So
I think it would sell Apple TV, is quite honestly, because I know people who are into football are really into football. And the NFL is looking to beef up their technology offerings. And look, they must know this is the future.
Right.
No, people watching stuff on TV is, I mean, it's like the newspaper. It's going away.
Right, and it's got live is the last big thing. I mean, the streaming thing they got down, but like, you know, tuning into some kind of live event, live news, live sports, that's what's missing on all of the streaming platforms. You know, on Apple TV especially, and if NFL, I mean, this is the biggest sports, it's second biggest sports franchise in the world, right, after soccer. So, I mean, if they're willing to go and, you know, to take the plunge into streaming, then, you know, then all these others will follow for sure.
Well, it looks like the NFL is kind of shopping the streaming rights around to all the different digital companies, Google, Yahoo, Amazon, Apple. I mean, one of them's got a bite. But they're non-exclusive streaming rights, so like they could all stream this stuff. And the crazy part is like I was reading, Buster, in your post, that Yahoo streamed that one game, $15 million just to stream that one game this season. $15 million to stream one game.
And I'm pretty sure they got 16 Thursday night games in a season. So buying the whole package would be pricey. But that was an exclusive stream too. So it'd probably be a way cheaper. Seems how everybody else would be able to get on it.
I mean, at this point, Yahoo needs to do whatever they can to keep themselves relevant. So
what does Yahoo do? They need to just kill themselves.
What does Yahoo even do? I don't even know. How are they still in business? Like what? What are they producing that people really love? I mean, I guess people are using Flickr still.
Well, it's because they own tons of Alibaba stock. So,
oh, do they?
Yeah, so that's really is what keeps Yahoo afloat so far. Like all the digital efforts that they have, none of that makes any money. They make all of their money off of Alibaba shares.
Wow. I mean, because they use Microsoft for their search engine now. So when you do a Yahoo search, I think you're basically doing a Bing search.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? Like, well, I don't even know anyone that uses Yahoo, but apparently they've got enough money in their coffers they can still stick around. Let's talk about 3D Touch. You all know I like to 3D Touch people and things. And we were wondering when the iPad Pro came out, why 3D Touch wasn't a part of that offering, because it's Apple's flagship iPad. It's like, where's the 3D Touch? Well, it turns out that Apple's having a hard time building 3D touch screens that accommodate larger displays. Did you guys see this report, Buster? Did you see this?
Yeah, it's a real big bummer because I was hoping the iPad Air 3 would have 3D touch on it.
But which it turns
like
out
it's not.
Probably won't. Yeah, so if you're holding out for a new iPad, KGI Securities Analyst, who is always pretty much, Ming-Chi Kuo. Wouldn't you say he has the best record of pretty much anyone else?
He does,
maybe everyone else combined.
It's not perfect, though.
Right.
But he does, yeah. He has a good record.
It's not perfect, but as far as anyone could be right, he is right. I mean, Apple changes their plans all the time on stuff, so he gets stuff wrong here and there. But Ming-Chi Kuo said that the iPad Air is set to be released in the first half of 2016, which we normally would have seen one released by now, but will not include 3D touch because Apple's having problems creating the 3D touch panels. And then also the 3D touch technology is, who knows when it's going to come to the larger screened iPad. I guess the technology just works very well on smaller screens, but isn't really adaptable to larger screens yet. Have you guys heard any information on when we might potentially see 3D touch come to the iPad Pro? Like, how many years out we are?
No idea. Not in 2016.
I'm gonna,
maybe
I'm with you,
2017.
Maybe 2017. Possibly 2018. It could be 2019. You heard it here first, folks.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. Scoop City.
With a chance of, yeah. I'll sync with my sources and see. In fact, I was emailing back and forth with one of my sources recently, and he said, definitely within the next 10 years, you're going to see 3D Touch come to the iPad Pro. And then in parentheses, it said, probably. So you heard it here first. That's probably going to happen in the next 10 years. Okay, you know what? We're kind of running long, so I think we should just dive right into our faves of 2015. And we're doing favorite thing of 2015, this show.
Oh, okay.
But before we do that, Buster, I know you're chomping at the bit here because I know you have something picked, right?
Yeah, I got something picked.
Do you?
Finally. Yeah.
Fantastic. Before you do that, I want to say thank you to Harry's for supporting this episode. Harry's, HARRYS.com, makes extraordinarily sharp, high quality German hewn razors that they make themselves and ship right to your door for a price far less than the drugstores and even less than Amazon.com. Harry's was looking for a way to cut out the middleman in the blade business. Razors are like ridiculously expensive. And there's no reason why you have to pay so much to get a high quality razor. So Harry's did something about it. They bought an entire German factory where these razors are produced. They found a factory and they liked their product so much. They bought the whole factory. And you can buy a Harry's razor and have it shipped directly to your door at a frequency that you choose. So you can start with a kit. I always recommend the Truman set. It normally sells for $15. It comes with a handle, three razor blades, and moisturizing shaving cream. If you use code COLTCAST at checkout, you can get that set, the Truman set, for $10. You'll get $5 off. They'll ship it right to your door for free. They're basically sending it to you for free because it's going to cost them $10 just to ship it to you. And then from that point on, you try it out. If you like the Harry's shave experience, you can get razors shipped to your door at a frequency that you choose. You can get like 8 razors a month, 4 razors a month, 16 razors a month. And the prices are about half of what you would pay from the drugstore. So you can customize it to your specific face. But they also make great gifts. So it's that time of year where you're buying stuff for your dad, your uncle, your weird uncle, your inappropriate uncle, your brother. And some guys are tough to shop for. I bet, Leander, you're probably pretty tough to shop for.
Very tough, yeah. Very picky.
Because don't you just buy the stuff that you actually want yourself?
More or less, yeah.
Or you get it for free from...
Yeah, right.
Quote, unquote, from people Apple. That want you to review it. Oh. Yeah, from Apple. Apple just sends them stuff. And when you're getting MacBooks for free, I mean, what else do you want? Well, every guy likes a good quality shave set. And especially if they're using cheap razors, they're really going to appreciate a good shave experience. So Harry's makes a very good gift too. And they are very affordable and ship anywhere right to that door for free in the U.S. So check out Harry's.com if you're ready for a better shave experience. If you want to get someone else a better shave experience, go to Harry's.com right now. Use code COLTCAST at checkout. And if it's your first order, you'll get $5 off with coupon code COLTCAST. It's Harry's.com. Thank you to Harry's for supporting this episode. Harry's, start with your face and then work your way down. Harry's.com. They didn't officially put that in my show notes here. But
what they asked you to say?
You know, they just said Harry's.com and then coupon code COLTCAST at checkout. But I think they like it. Everyone likes it when I embellish a little bit. Going to spice it up just a little bit. Okay. This is our third favorite stuff of 2015. And I both love this segment and despise this segment because it's great to go through and recall things that we loved in 2015 that really impacted us or things that we would recommend other people buy or go see or what have you. But inevitably, after we do this segment, I always come away from it thinking, I'm an idiot. Why did I choose that? I can think of 10 other things I should have said, and the one I chose was really stupid, and then I feel like an idiot for an entire year until we do this segment again. So I'm a masochist. We're gonna go ahead and do this, and hopefully I won't be filled with remorse afterwards. This is our favorite thing of 2015. I'm going to go with a product, something that I really loved, but you guys can do whatever you want. Does anyone want to go first? Buster, what do you got?
I'm going to go with a book. Okay. Actually.
I mean, that's totally in, but that's cool.
Sorry, dude.
I'm just joking.
Sorry, bro.
It's fine. I love books. Somebody
said favorite thing. I don't know. We didn't get much notice on this thing.
No, I think I gave you like 2 minutes, which is a minute more than normal.
But I did read like probably the coolest sci-fi trilogy I've ever read. It just blew my mind.
Wow.
It's called Lilith's Brood by Octavia Butler.
How do you spell that first word?
Lilith. L-I-L-I-T-H.
Like Lilith Fair?
Yeah. It's like a trilogy of books. And
Who's the author?
Octavia Butler.
Okay.
It's just kind of like crazy sci-fi. Really like super nerdy sci-fi. It's like post-apocalyptic sci-fi and aliens take over the Earth.
I love that. Post-apocalyptic is my favorite.
And so it's like the Russians and the Americans nuked Earth and then aliens kind of came upon Earth, and in order to like save humanity, they kind of like interbreed with the humans. And this is like after 500 years after the nukes. And I don't know, it's just it blows my mind, because like the aliens, instead of like having like machine technology, all of their technology is organic, and like their whole reason for coming to Earth is to like trade genes and like learn more. I don't know,
like they want Levi's.
Yeah, jeans. They're like, how do you got? You guys look
give
so
me
good.
Your Levi's. Are those 510s? I love skinny jeans. Sorry, go ahead.
So yeah, that's basically it, and lots of crazy shiz happens, and it.
So, sorry, go ahead.
It just never goes where you think it's gonna go, which I love books like that just really surprise you and are very imaginative, and like this one kind of thinks about like space travel and aliens in a way like I never have. So, and also gender and sex too. It kind of talks about that and freedom as well. Like there's a lot of super deep themes in there as well. So it's like really cool.
So it's about an alien race that comes down to Earth and forces humans to have sex with them.
Kind of, but not forces them. Basically
coerces them.
Yeah, there's only so many humans left, and they preserve them in these like little cocoons that help you live basically forever. So they preserve all these humans, and then they wake them up, and then the ones who willingly join them, like they allow them to breed with them. And then the ones that don't want to join them, they just kick them out, but they make them fertile before they leave. Oh. So they can't have babies.
So as a human, your job is pretty much just to sleep and choose to have sex with an alien species.
Right. Exactly.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Alex E. Heath would probably think this is his favorite book trilogy ever written. Wait, what do the humans have to do? Oh my goodness. I want to live in that world. Okay. It's called Lilith Brood. The author is Octavia Butler. Was this is something you got into this year, but this isn't necessarily something that came out this year, right?
No, it came out in like, I don't know, the 90s or 2000 or something like that.
Dude, you're reaching way back.
Dude, I'd never read it. It's
how
actually
did you even hear about it?
One of my favorite writers, Juno Diaz, always talks about it. And so I finally decided to get into it. And it was super good, man. It's like
a
classic.
You're such a refined gentleman. You have a favorite writer. That's how refined you are.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're just full of surprises. Okay. Leander, what do you got? Or do you want me to go first?
Okay, you go first.
Okay. I hope I'm not going to regret this choice. It's not going to be Lord of the Rings, though, which I feel like it somehow works its way into some type of favorite conversation every year previous. My favorite thing this year, and this is such a tough decision, but this is something that I have garnered much enjoyment from, and I've used a lot. I was so excited to get my hands on, and has just absolutely lived up to all the hype. It's a video game on Nintendo. It's called Mario Maker. Have you guys heard very much about this game?
I've heard you talk about how cool it is.
Oh, gosh. So Super Mario Brothers, I feel like, is one of those franchises. It's kind of like Disneyland for most people. It makes you feel like a kid again. It brings back all these wonderful memories of playing with your friends when you were younger. So Nintendo did something genius, and I don't know if this game came out this year or in 2014. I think it was this year, and I got into it this year. They created a video game that gives you an entire world of Mario at your fingertips. So you can build any level in any Mario level genre. So Super Mario Bros. 1, 2, 3. And it gives all these tools of creativity over to the fans to build their own levels. And then anyone can play the level that you've built via code that you can give people. And there's like an entire, for lack of a better word, like marketplace. I mean, they're all free, but marketplace of levels that you can play. And they're so much fun. There's so much creativity that people put into building these levels that you're able to go through all these different genres and relive these games that you used to play and love. I can now play them in HD, and people, if you're streaming them, can watch you play them on Twitch, which is what I do sometimes. So you get to have this experience like hanging out in your living room, playing with your friends again. I love it. It's just such a great, fun experience to have with people again that you rarely get to have anymore, because video games, especially because Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus has proliferated, now you just play in your living room by yourself with people all over the world. And now to have that kind of like gaming experience again with people watching and kind of hanging out and helping you be a level is something from my childhood that I really cherish being able to relive.
People watching, you mean, in their own living rooms, in their own houses, hundreds of miles away?
Well, so. Yes, but if you do it on Twitch, you have a chat room going. So as you're watching, as you're playing the game, they see the game, and then you're all sitting in the same chat room talking. So it's as close as the experience to the experiences you're going to get as, you know, to rather just having someone in your living room with you, which never happens anymore. Right. But even if you don't want to stream it, because I'm kind of intermingling streaming in Super Mario Maker, the game has millions of levels that have been created now, and more levels are coming out all the time. Nintendo's always putting in new content to give people new stuff to build into the levels. So if you are a Super Mario Brothers fan, I think it's worth buying a Wii U just to play this game, and that's actually what I did. I bought a Wii U just so I could play this every day, and I'm having a great time. It's kind of expensive if you don't have a Wii U. You know, you'll have to buy one of those first. It'll end up costing you, like, I don't know, $250, $300, including the game. But for the amount of fun you'll get out of it, because there's new levels being created all the time, the amount of fun that you'll get, I think, is far greater than the money that you'll spend. So my pick this year is Mario Maker for the Wii U. Leander, top that. Top it. I dare you.
Okay.
You can't. We're wrapping up. That's all the cult. <I'm just joking. laughs>
All right. Well, I'll keep it short. I won't be going on and on about it. It's I said I was going to, you know, do something spiritual and something non-commercial, but I've actually changed my mind. My favorite thing of the whole year is actually the Amazon Echo.
You're kidding.
Nope. I think it's awesome. We use it all the time. Lewis and I, we keep on trying to stump each other, like chucking questions at it. You know, can we stump the Echo? And you can't. It's amazing. It's super quick. You can ask it all kinds of stuff. It's really capable. It's great for playing music. It's a really good speaker. I think it's become really, like, you know, it's almost indispensable.
I cannot. It's hard for me to imagine you liking it so much that you picked it for your pick of the entire year, because I remember when they did their first initial pre-orders for this. If you were a Prime member, you could order one before everyone else, and you could order it for $100. And they sent me my invitation, and I'm like, I almost bought it, but I thought, you know, I just read all the things that it could do, and I'm like, I can't imagine this just being useful, you know, in everyday life. And then to hear you talk about it, it's amazing. It's like you've talked about this device on this show probably 10 times, and you've only had positive things to say about it. Can you describe what it is for people that don't know exactly what it is?
Okay, it's a black cylinder, maybe about a foot tall.
Yeah.
And it is a smart assistant,
yeah.
A smart speaker. It's difficult to describe because it does so many different things.
Exactly. It's kind of like this menagerie of functionality that
it's kind of
it
like
it goes
it's
together.
It's like thinking, it's like Siri in a box, you know, Siri in a tube. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot of things that you might ask Siri to do.
So what kind of interactions, describe the interactions you normally have with this thing throughout the day.
Well, I always ask it to play the music. So okay. I always ask to play the radio. And I was in the car yesterday, and when I was parking, Stuart Butterfield was on from Slack, and they were doing an interview with him, and I wanted to hear it. And I thought, oh, you know, should I sit in the car for another half an hour and just listen to what he has to say? I'll get Alexa, Amazon Echo to play it. So I came running in the office and I shouted out, hey Amazon, play KQED, and mm-hmm. almost instantly it knows the station, and it tuned mm-hmm. it in, and it was pretty seamless. It was like playing the radio. And then
we can play radio stations just like a normal radio.
It can play
radio
stations all around the world. So, like, I often ask it to play BBC Radio 1. Mm-hmm. You can ask it for specific shows, and it's usually pretty accurate at doing that. You can ask it for sort of like genres. You can ask it to play Amazon Music. You can ask it to play all kinds of bands, and it searches for, if it looks for your own music collection, and then it starts playing it up from Amazon Music. So it's pretty good for that. You know, it's pretty good for playing music, and it's actually really a pretty good speaker. It's a fairly decent Bluetooth, it's equivalent to a Bluetooth speaker, like a Jambox or something like that. Mm. And then you can ask it questions. You know, you can ask it about the weather, traffic conditions, say, hey, what's the traffic conditions like on the way home? And it'll tell you if there's a jam or not. And of course, you have to give it a little bit of information before then, yeah, how did I do that? I can't remember now. I somehow told it where home was. Oh, it's in the app. So you have to go into the app. This is so long ago now, like 2 or 3 months, that I've forgotten how you
ages
do it.
Ages ago, yeah.
Yeah, in the app, you tell it some basic information about yourself. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I haven't even really said it. I don't think I'm even scratching the surface, because every week you get an email saying, oh, look what we've added to Amazon Echo this week. And there is tons of new stuff. You can get all kinds of you can get sports scores. You can get ongoing sports scores as it happens. If you integrate it with your address book and your calendar, it'll tell you about what's coming up, what appointments you have. It'll remind you to leave the house if you've got an appointment somewhere.
Is the speech recognition better than Siri?
Yeah, it's faultless. It's actually this is why it's so good, is because it more often than not, even if there's music playing, understands exactly what you said and instantly gives you what you want. So the frustration factor has been really low, and that's what makes it different from Siri, because Siri is what, I don't know, 80% these days.
Yeah, it's much better than it used to be.
Yeah, right. But it's still not, it's still not good enough. And this is like 99%. And
wow, it's 99%? Is that what you said?
It's super, super fast. We were arguing yesterday about some movie. We were trying to remember the name of a movie that Peter Dinklage, from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Was in with Steve Buscemi.
Yep.
You remember that? Does that ring a bell?
No idea what
Peter
that is.
Peter Dinklage, Steve Buscemi.
Is it The Station Agent?
No. But that was the first movie that made him famous. So we were like, hey, Alexa, what movie was, Peter Dinklage in with Steve Buscemi? And almost instantly it said Living in Oblivion, and then it rattled off like three more. So he's actually been in like three movies with him. And it was like, it's kind of miraculous, because you shout out like a weird question like that, and then almost before you finish the sentence, it comes back with the correct answer, and then a bunch of other stuff that you never knew either.
Wow.
So I was really impressed. I mean, I ask it things like, instead of doing Google searches now, we're trying to convert, how many teaspoons in a tablespoon, and
yeah,
how, Celsius to Fahrenheit, and setting timers and alarms, all that kind of stuff. I've actually, started to use it, quite a lot for quite a lot of stuff.
It's amazing, because I feel like a lot of times the frustration with talking to devices that are audio only like that is that they just don't get stuff right. And so inevitably you get angry and you're like, okay, I just need a keyboard so I can type this out. So for discovery, for searching for things, the audio interface of the device is just never as good as typing. And so it sounds like from what you're saying, they have polished it to a point where it actually is useful,
right?
So you don't need to ever seek out a keyboard.
Right, exactly. And of course, this is, it is like Star Trek. It's like Arik, from Blake 7. It's a talking computer, and it's smart enough to make the interaction useful.
Huh.
It's not a gimmick anymore.
Yeah.
It's weird, it's actually really pretty cool.
And it's crazy that Amazon figured this out.
Yeah,
before
anyone else. And it does also the whole automation stuff. There's a whole bunch of home automation that's built into it. And I was really interested in looking into that because, you know, I got some smart bulbs at the house and yeah, it's great for mood lighting. Actually, everyone hates it.
really? I really like them.
I can't stand them. You know, we have a Nest thermostat, but, you know, we haven't really done anything with it.
Uh-huh,
and uh-huh. I think this is really intriguing. This would be the perfect interface for that kind of thing. Like, I would love to say, you know, hey, lock up or good night, you know, and then have everything shut down. Although, actually, I tend to go to bed about 2 hours before everyone else in the house, so they might not like that.
And then, plus, your kids are probably sneaking out after you go to sleep, so you don't want to lock all
right,
the doors.
Yeah. Well, actually, I want to know when they're sneaking out. You know, I want Alexa to keep an eye on that kind of thing.
Eventually, that's going to be a possibility. I think in like 10 years, your kids are not going to be able to sneak out without you knowing.
Yeah, but that's a good point. You know, of all the people to have figured this out, Amazon is. Yeah, you know, you wouldn't think immediately that they would be the people to do it.
Yeah, out of left field for sure. Okay, so Leander's pick is the Amazon Echo. Mine is Mario Maker. Buster's is Lilith Brood. So I think out of all of them, Buster's is going to be the one that's cheapest for you because you could probably get it for free at your local library. Any honorable mentions before we wrap up here, guys?
Negative.
Okay.
No.
No, nothing about Sonos, Leander. Well, that's too late. That's too bad. Oh, darn.
Okay,
that's
it,
all
yeah.
The cookouts we have for you guys this week. And next week, we'll be back. We'll be doing our favorite movies of 2015. And who knows, maybe Star Wars will be part of that discussion again. I want to thank Canary for supporting this episode. Head on over to meetcanary.com. Pick up your Canary for just $179 for a limited time and get free overnight shipping with code CULTCAST at checkout. I also want to thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode. Get your invoicing game going right. Head on over to FreshBooks.com. Sign up for a free trial and please use code CULTCAST in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's all the CULTCAST we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us what you think about the new Star Wars, we're going to be on Twitter, and we won't be talking about spoilers. Well, Buster might be. I'm Matt Arifon, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the CULTCAST, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CULTCAST come out every Thursday night. We want to thank everyone for listening, and
see you next time, we will.
give me your best Wookiee.
Oh.
That was the best. It sounded like you were choking on Chewbacca.
's up, bro?
Oh, dude, I'm so excited for Star Wars tomorrow.
Tomorrow? You're not going tonight?
No.
Why not?
Because the theater I was trying to go to, there's one in Seattle called the Cinerama.
Yeah.
And they just sold out so fast. There was no chance to even, you didn't even have a chance to buy tickets. I don't even know how people got them.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going tonight at 7.
Oh, you boner.
Yeah, dude. So stoked. Well, and we go to this theater. It's in downtown Phoenix, like right downtown. And for some reason, nobody ever goes there. It's an AMC.
Yeah?
And yeah, there's like...
Does it suck?
It's not the best theater, but
okay, well,
it's a theater.
Okay, well, then that explains why no one goes there.
No, I mean, I don't hate it. I'm pretty picky. So, yeah.
You
I'm
were
expecting
picky about
no
your movie theaters?
Oh, yeah.
I never would have guessed that about you. I just thought you were like, I don't care. Well, you know, if it's the screen is bigger than my TV, let's just go there.
Oh, no. It's got to have the right, at least good popcorn, you know, decent fucking cleanliness, you know.
Yeah. Decent cleanliness. Wow. You are picky about your movie theater.
No, I won't go watch my movies in a shithole. Come on.
That floor sticky. Buster's out of there.
No. My God. My sneakers can't take that.